As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I feel like recently I've been starting a lot of sermons with references to television programmes. I wonder if that's anything to do with lockdown. Anyway, I wonder if there are any other fans of the Great British Pottery Throwdown out there. Yeah, some hands up, lots of kind of vague faces. For those of you who are not in the know, it's like Bake Off, only instead of cooking things, the contestants make things out of clay. Perhaps it's the fact that I served my curacy in Stoke-on-Trent and the programme is filmed there. Not sure what it is, but it is one of my favourites of the genre of all these kind of making things programmes. Great Pottery Throwdown is top for me. And each week there are a couple of tasks, but almost all of them at some point involve a pottery wheel. Has anybody here ever had a go on a pottery wheel? Yeah. Anybody here any good on a pottery wheel? Oh, Tony is. Hey, so I hope what I'm about to say is right, because otherwise he'll be telling me off afterwards. I had a go once. It really didn't go well. Anyway, the potters on the throwdown, they create a whole range of things, from like tiny little cups all the way through to great amphora kind of thrown in two halves, which are then pieced together. Variety of skills and tools and bits of their body, thumbs and knuckles and even elbows at some points with the really big ones. One thing is common to everything they make on the wheel. They always start by getting the lump of clay centred. They spend quite a lot of time getting it centred. Because unless they get it properly centred, they're never going to get anywhere with what they actually want to make. And it seems to me that this principle carries over into all other areas of life as well. Mechanical, emotional, spiritual. When things are spinning round, if we don't get centred, things start going wrong. If we do get centred correctly, then beautiful things can be created, whether it's on a pottery wheel or a lathe or whatever. When things are spinning round, if we don't get centred, then things start going wrong. If we do get centred correctly, then beautiful things can be created. Now, over the last month or so, we've been looking at the accounts of the return to Jerusalem of the people of God following the exile in Babylon. And they returned to rebuild the city under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. And we've been thinking about what insights we might be able to gain from that, from the rebuilding that we're having to do in our lives, in our communities, in our work, in all kinds of areas, in our church community, post-COVID. And we've talked about the foundations of worship, about the importance of working together, the need of building in new patterns of justice. And they're expressed in our church values of celebrating, of loving God, of loving each other, and loving our neighbours. So this morning, we're thinking about the importance of being centred on the Word of God. And the fact that that means setting our lives to revolve around what God says to us. Again, this fits in with our church values of loving God. As part of that, we say we value being rooted in the Bible. Perhaps another way of expressing that, we value being centred on the Bible, of our lives revolving around what God says to us, not our understanding of God's word revolving around our lives. So, let's turn to our readings, and particularly our Nehemiah reading, where for the first time we actually get Nehemiah and Ezra together and see what they have to say to us this morning. And when I preach, I don't very often go through a passage verse by verse, but kind of seemed appropriate this morning. So if you've got a copy on your phone or you've brought a hard copy with you, you might want to follow through as we look at this passage from Nehemiah. So, let's start at the beginning. Always a good place to start. Verse 1. The people gathered together with one accord and told Ezra to bring out the book of the law. The people gathered together with one accord and told Ezra to bring out the book of the law. And two things strike me about this. If there was one thing that the people of God had not actually been very good at over the years, it was being of one mind, of gathering together. They'd been quite tribal. They'd fallen out with their leaders when things had gone wrong. They'd split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. They'd been more divided than not in their history. But now they are of a common mind, agreed, gathering around God's word. It's a grassroots, bottom-up movement. And that's the second thing that struck me. It's not Ezra telling them that he's going to go and get the book and could they all please gather round. That's not what happens. They gather round and ask their teacher to bring out the book. There is a hunger for the word of God. There's a hunger for a good understanding of it. So the first two words I want to take from this morning are unity and hunger. Unity and hunger. Verse 2. The assembly was made up of men and women and all who are able to understand. Men and women and all who are able to understand. Everyone was there, whole families, no division of age or gender. There was an equality of access to the word of God and teaching about it. So that's the third word I want to take, equality. Verse 3. He read from daybreak until noon, and all the people listened attentively. Now, just stop and think about that a minute. When is daybreak? And let's assume this is kind of in the Middle East, so closer to the equator. Daybreak average kind of 6, 7 o'clock? Noon? Well, noon's 12. So how long is that? Shall we say 5 or 6 hours? I'm not sure that I could stand and read the Bible for 5 or 6 hours. I'm absolutely certain that I couldn't listen attentively for 5 or 6 hours. It's a really long time. Should we try it? And I think, if I remember correctly, they were stood up. It's a really long time. These people showed perseverance and dedication to the word of God. They wanted to soak it all up, to soak it all in, to know the great story of God in which they could find themselves. That's the next two words, perseverance and attentiveness. Verses 5 to 6. Ezra opened the book, the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord. Everyone worshipped. And as I said a little bit earlier, we talked about worship at the foundations of any rebuilding a few weeks ago. And here it is again. When we meet with God, encounter God in the Word, it draws out worship. It inspires worship. It gives us words to worship. How many of our songs and hymns are drawn from Scripture? Most of the liturgy of the Church of England is Scripture. Prayer and worship shot through with the word of God. So that's our next word, worship. Verse 7. The Levites instructed the people in the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Now, thank you to Ali for reading all the names of the Levites. Peter had a word with me before the service and said, doesn't getting lost in all those Hebrew names, doesn't it distract us from what's being said? And he may have a point. But these were actual people. This was like Tim the preacher or Heather the preacher or Neil the preacher. These were actual people. And they were explaining what was being read. And there's a couple of different ways of understanding this. The book would have been written in Hebrew. So Ezra would have been reading in Hebrew. But it's quite likely that during the exile up to Babylon, the ability to understand and speak Hebrew had been lost. They were probably, the people listening, their native language was probably Aramaic. By the time Jesus was around, everybody spoke Aramaic. Nobody spoke Hebrew. So Jesus didn't speak Hebrew, he spoke Aramaic. So it's likely that the people listening wouldn't have understood the Hebrew that was being read. And so the first thing that would have happened would have been a translation into Aramaic. And in addition to that, it's likely that they would have needed explaining, helping to see how they could live it out, how they could apply it. So our next two words are translation and application. And then we get to verse 9. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping. I wonder, why do we think that the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law of Moses explained to them? What was in there to make people cry? Maybe as they heard the story of the rescue from slavery in Egypt and the entry to the promised land, they recognized their own stories of rescue from exile and being brought to Jerusalem, and it brought up all those emotions associated with exile. Maybe they wept over the sins of their ancestors who'd been faithless to the covenant they were hearing about and the God who had brought them to the promised land. Perhaps they recognized their own half-heartedness and failure to live in God's way and follow God's command. Maybe they were weeping for the lost years. Whatever it is, Nehemiah steps in and comforts them. He reminds them that the Holy God has brought them back to Jerusalem so they can go forward with hope and joy. Their weeping was turned to joy because it became a celebration. Not because there weren't things that needed mourning, but because in the midst of mourning, there was the light of hope. So our next two words this morning are weeping and joy. So, here we find the Word of God centering the people of God as they reform their community. We find the Word of God being central in unity, hunger, equality, perseverance, attentiveness, worship, translation, application, weeping, and joy. So, as we seek to rebuild, as we seek to form our lives after the last 18 months, how might we center ourselves on the Word of God? How can we make God's Word central to our lives? Well, I'd like to have a look at these words in a slightly different order. So let's begin with hunger, perseverance, and attentiveness. Don't panic, I'm not going to suggest six-hour sermons. But it does seem to me that these things deal with our attitude towards our engagement with God's Word. They deal with our attitude and our will. Do we want to read it? Do we want to learn from it? Are we hungry? Do we persevere? Are we attentive? And if the answer to those questions is no, then our lives are not going to be centered on it. There are loads of resources out there to help us. There are audio Bibles, study Bibles, internet Bibles, Bibles on your phone, apps like Lectio 365, paper Bibles. There's all kinds of options. The Holy Spirit is there to help us, to give us that hunger, that perseverance, that attentiveness if we ask for it. As we center our wills on the Word of God, so our lives will be centered there as well. And then what about unity, equality, translation, and application? These seem to me to deal with how we read the Word of God. We are meant to read it together. To read it together, to work on understanding what it says to our context, to translate it into our lives, and to put it into practice. Have I got another slide, Nathaniel? And at All Saints, we do this in a variety of ways. Small groups are probably the best and most effective and important way of doing this. Gathering together in unity and equality to translate it and apply it to our lives in community. And as we center our minds on the Word of God, so our lives will be centered there as well. And then, worship, weeping, and joy. Our emotional response to God's Word. God's Word shows us who God is, draws us into worship. It can fuel and equip us to worship. Sometimes it will make us cry as we realize how far we fall short of God, as our hearts are broken for the world, as God's heart breaks, as we lament with the pain we're experiencing. Sometimes it will fill us with joy as we see the wonder of creation, as we experience the healing touch of God, as we are encouraged. As we center our emotions on the Word of God, so our lives will be centered there as well. So, as we rebuild after COVID, learning from Nehemiah and Ezra and the people of God as they rebuilt Jerusalem, let's center our wills on the Word of God in hunger, perseverance, and attentiveness. Let's center our minds on the Word of God in unity, equality, translation, and application. And let's center our emotions on the Word of God in worship, weeping, and joy. Let's center our lives on the Word of God so that beautiful things can be created. Amen.